Good afternoon, friends. Manfield Square, as you're passing by, today a warm welcome is extended to you to come to hear the gospel tomorrow. If you can't come and hear the gospel with us, we would encourage you to attend a church that preaches a faithful gospel message. We meet in Thornwood Terrace. The times of the services, 11 o'clock in the morning, 6:30. The preacher is the Reverend Andrew Allan. You certainly will not be disappointed. You have nothing to lose in coming along to hear the Word of God being preached, being proclaimed, and you have everything to gain. And as sinners, we all have everything to gain when we have Christ, when we receive Christ as our own personal Lord and as our personal Saviour. Where have we come from? Where are we going? That's surely a question that is often on people's minds. Where have we come from? Where are we going? The Bible tells us that God, in the beginning, God, in the beginning, God made all things out of nothing. At the beginning of time, He made all things out of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. And my dear friends, if you're of the persuasion here today that it was all a big bang, how often we hear that glibly falling from the lips of people? An explosion, a big bang, evolution. Well, my dear friends, it is a hoax that was hatched in hell. That is what the big bang is, a hoax that was hatched in hell. God made all things out of nothing at the beginning of time. By the word of His power, in the space of 6 days, all very good. He created the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, everything that roameth and creepeth upon the face of the earth, God made. But you know, my friends, that you and I here today, man, sinful man, is the jewel of God's creation. Because God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. A living soul. We all have a precious, never dying, living soul. Have you ever thought about that? That you have a precious, never dying, living soul. I hope that you're not closing your ears to the truth as you're passing by here in Glasgow today through Manfield Square. That you and I have one thing in common, my friend. Whether you're cycling past, driving in the car, walking, eating food and drink in restaurants around Manfield Square, reading a paper, pondering, considering, you and I have one thing in common. We are all sinners. We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by practice. It's not me that says that, but God's Word. We find it written in God's Word, the Bible. And the Bible is our authority at the end of the day. And it is what God says in His Word, the Bible, that counts. Not our own imagination or our own opinions or our own thoughts. We've got our own opinions, we've got our own thoughts, we imagine things regarding spiritual things, but we've got to go back to God's word. This is the truth, and there is no other truth as like the truth of God's word. Many people would like to edit the truth, but we can't edit the truth. It would be easier today to stop the sun shining on the streets of Glasgow or empty the Clyde of water than it is to edit the truth. We can't do it. We can't add to it. We can't subtract from it because it's unalterable. Did you hear that? We cannot edit the truth of God's word. It would be easier today to stop the sun from shining on the whole of Glasgow. It would be easier to empty the Clyde of water than it would be to edit God's word. It can't be done. It's unalterable. Even with the passing of time, the Bible says, God says, I change not. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Ere'er thou didst form the earth and all the world abroad, even thou from everlasting art to everlasting God. And this is what the Bible tells us about us, in that we are sinners. Because we are sinners, listen, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Isn't it amazing when people pass and they trip and something goes wrong? It's always, oh Lord, Jesus, Christ. Isn't it amazing? I never hear anyone saying, oh Buddha, oh Hindu, or oh Roman Catholic priest. It's always, oh God, oh Jesus, oh Christ. You know, friends, we can't get away from him at the end of the day. Although, sadly, many people use him as a leaning post, something to lean on. Well, my dear friend, today, I hope at the close of another week, we have been spared. Each of us here today, we are still on mercy's ground. We are in the land of the living. We yet breathe God's air. And it is God's air that we breathe in his mercy. The door of mercy is still open. Nobody has ever been turned away at the door of mercy. Nobody. He says, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Call ye upon the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he is to be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Why did Jesus come into this world? We've been all week giving or trying to give the sum and substance of the gospel message. And it's probably summed up in the most quoted verse in the Bible, John 3:16. It's the gospel in miniature. It's a memorable verse. It's a glorious verse. It's a blessed verse. Listen for a moment to what the gospel of John 3:16 says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What must I do to be saved? Have you ever asked that question? Has it crossed your mind? What must I do to be saved? The Bible gives us an account in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, of two men who were thrown into prison because they were doing exactly what we're trying to do here today, preaching the gospel, the good news of Christ and of salvation. And in their own day, Paul and Silas, they were thrown into prison. And while they were in prison, we read that there was a mighty earthquake. And the prison shook under their feet. And the Philippian jailer quaked as well. And he asked that memorable question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What answer did he hear? Well, my dear friends, I'm going to give you the same answer that he heard. Listen to the answer that he heard. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Jesus is the only way to heaven. You may have your own opinion and your own thoughts about spiritual things and who gets to heaven. But if we were to go and ask you today and present you with the options, there is nobody here in Manfield Square who wants to go to hell. Even the word hell, there's only four letters in the word hell, and one shakes when we speak about hell. Most people want to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. But you know, friends, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. There's only one way to heaven at the end of the day. It's not the Protestant way. It's not the Protestant way, and it's not certainly the Roman Catholic way either. It's not the Hindu way, or the Buddhist way, or the way of Islam, or Sikhism, or Jewishism. It's not the Jewish religion. Religionity will never save anyone. Or the number of people who tell us that they go to church and they drink the wine at the Lord's table and they eat the bread and they think that's their passport to heaven, that it's going to earn them the Lord's well done at the end of the day. Well, my friends, that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that there's only one way of getting to heaven. The person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Many people are familiar with that verse. The verse, the words that Jesus once spoke about himself. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And it's reinforced elsewhere in Scripture. There is salvation in none other. There is no other name given under heaven amongst men by which we must be saved. Can I ask you a question here today? Are you saved? Are you saved? You know, my friends, if we're not saved, we're lost. We're lost. "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Jesus tells us about himself that he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You may not think this is true. You may not want to wish to hear this. This is what the Bible says about us appearing one day before God. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus according to my gospel." Just as it is appointed unto all men once to die, and after death the judgment, there's a day of judgment looming around the corner for all of us. And we have to stand with our arms stretched, our hands stretched, our hands empty, and our appearance personal, to give an account to the judge of all the earth. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we come out here often to Manfield Square, to Byers Road, to the Farmers Market, to Buchanan Street. We go out giving out gospel tracts, sharing the good news gospel message, giving out invitations to come, not specifically to church for the sake of coming to church, but coming to church so that you might hear the unchanging gospel message of salvation that is broken down and explained by a man sent from God. And that is what every minister of the gospel is. He's a man sent of God. He's a proclaimer. We have a proclaimer in our church in Thornwood Terrace. His name is the Reverend Andrew Allan. Some of you have been speaking to him here on my left. He preaches a faithful gospel message week after week after week, on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, as well as on weekday. He preaches the gospel at 11 o'clock tomorrow, and then 6:30 in the evening. And nobody's excluded. Nobody will be turned away at the door. A warm welcome is extended to you all, whatever your background and however deep you may have plunged in sin. The Bible gives an account of a woman who plunged the depth of sin. Some people this week have told us, God won't save me, I'm past saving. Well, friends, that's utter nonsense, absolute utter nonsense. The vilest offender who truly believes a moment from Jesus, a pardon received. The Bible gives us an account in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, of a woman who had lost her way in life. She was as if it were living her life out of the dustbin because of her adulterous relationship. And sadly, if I'm not mistaken, there are many people living adulterous relationships, living in sin, like this woman at the well of Samaria. And she met there someone she was never to forget for the rest of her life. You know, friends, she drank the living water. Many people are drinking from the broken cisterns of life that contain no real water at the end of the day. We must drink the living water. Christ is the living water. And this woman at the well of Samaria, at the well of Sychar, she drank this living water. The only thing that was on her mind was drinking water. And she meets this mysterious stranger, who was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he speaks to her about living water. Drink it, she says to her. He says to her, drink it, see its worth, see its value. You know, friends, she drank that living water and she was never to thirst again. The living water that she drank was a living fountain. It was a living fountain in her own heart. And she went home to tell her friends, come and see a man that told me everything I did. A man that told me all things that I did. Is this not the Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ saved her soul. Her sins were forgiven through the blood that was shed at Calvary, at Calvary's cross. My friends, there is nobody, as I said, who is so deep in sin that the grace of God is not deeper still. By grace ye are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of ourselves, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. My friend here today, I would plead with you with all sincerity of heart, with all the love that we can muster. We're only here briefly for a short time this afternoon. We'll be closing, we'll be going our own separate ways. We'll be giving out a few more gospel tracts, giving out a few more gospel magazines, saying a few final words in conclusion. But whatever you forget, having maybe heard something of the good news gospel message this week, my friend, I would plead with you, don't forget your most valuable possession in this world. It's your precious, never-dying soul. Your precious, never-dying soul. Many people have many bank accounts. Many people have millions and billions of pounds. Maybe you don't fit into that category. Maybe you're well off. Other people are more than well off. They're well off for the rest of their lives, even if they lived many years. But it doesn't matter how much money we have at the end of the day. If we die without Christ as our Savior, it would have been better for us if we had never been born. Even if we had the wealth of 1,000 worlds, imagine that for one moment. The wealth of 1,000 worlds. Think of it. The wealth of 1,000 worlds. It's nothing compared to the worth and value of your precious, never dying soul. What shall it profit a man, even if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? The streets you're walking on here today, Glasgow City Council would claim this is all ours. Well, Glasgow City Council couldn't be further from the truth. Every square inch that you're walking on belongs to God. Absolutely every square inch in the city of Glasgow doesn't belong to Glasgow City Council, whatever claim they may have on it. All of Glasgow, every square inch that you're walking on today, it belongs to God. And the breath that you're drawing today, God has given it to you. It is in God that we live and move and have our being. And when God calls us to leave this world behind, when we draw our final breath, none of us can turn round to death and say, well, excuse me, I'm not quite ready yet. Will you come back maybe next month or next year or on Christmas Day? When death calls us to leave this world behind, we can postpone going to the doctor and to the dentist and to the solicitor. We've got a lesson with the driving instructor. We can postpone all these lessons. All these appointments, we can put them off to another day. But we can't put off our appointment with death. When death calls us to leave this world behind, we cannot turn round to death and say, well, excuse me, I'm not ready. Come back another day. Can I make an appointment at another date? No, we must be summoned. We'll be summoned to leave this world behind. The black funeral car a few days later is going to take our lifeless remains in a coffin, or so-called, place it in a cemetery and place it in a grave. With a little tomb, with a little stone placed a few months later. But my friend, the soul returns. The soul returns to God who gave it. Now for the Christian, the moment of death, death for the Christian is but the gateway to glory, to be with Christ, which is far better at the end of the day. Let me give you the sum and substance of what happens to the Christian, to the believer, to the Bible-believing Christian at the end of the day. The soul of the believer is made perfect in holiness and doth immediately pass into glory. And the body, being united to Christ, doth rest in the grave. until the great resurrection morn. Now, if that be true of the Christian, of the Bible believer, the reverse must be true of the person who's not converted, the person who's an unbeliever. Listen to this solemn, sobering thought. The soul of the unbeliever is made perfect in wickedness and doth immediately pass into hell, and the body is made restless in the grave until the resurrection. Oh, there's a day of resurrection coming, a day of resurrection when we will all be awoken suddenly, and we will arise out of the grave and out of the tomb, out of that very cemetery. Whatever cemetery you may be placed in Glasgow, the body and the soul will be reunited together on that day. How many people this week have said, I've got no time for religion. I've got no time for God. I've got no time for Jesus. I'm an atheist. I'm a skeptic. I'm an agnostic. I'm this, I'm that. Well, listen to what the Bible says on that great last day. Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. Every tongue will confess. Every knee must bow. Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That will be a day of unutterable bliss, a day of unutterable blessing for the genuine, true Bible-believing Christian, because the glory land of heaven awaits them to be with Christ for all eternity. But oh, my dear friend, it'll be a day of unutterable woe. It'll be a day of unutterable misery for the person who has died in this world without Christ as his Savior. It would have been better for that person if he had never been born. Amazing grace. Lord, my friends, don't forget the words of Amazing Grace. They're as valid as ever. They're as relevant as ever. Well, at least they're relevant for those who are prepared to hearken to the call of the gospel, and to those who will hear with a listening ear. There's a blessing in hearing by faith. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Friends, the location, Thornwood Terrace, it's the church that's beside the school or opposite the school. The time, 11 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the evening. The preacher, the proclaimer, will be the Reverend Andrew Allan, and he's going to be preaching. What is he going to be preaching? I'm going to leave you in suspense. Come along, my friends, and come and hear the gospel. A warm welcome is extended to you all. Summed up in one word, come.
I'm just going to wind up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be long here. Just going to wind up. Thank you.
Who is he?
A guy, Peter. He's a Christian.
He looks like a Christian.
Aye. Peter. He goes to Sandyford.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to draw our time to a close here. It's been good to be out with you. It's been a pleasure to be able to proclaim something of the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's a glorious Savior. He is worthy of our admiration. But more than that, friends, He'll do you no good whatsoever unless you come to Him, unless you believe upon Him for yourself, unless He is your personal Savior and Lord. It's good to be here. We're from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing. We meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace. That's just off Dumbarton Road, opposite the police station, up in the hill beside Thornwood Primary School. And we extend a warm welcome to you all tomorrow, 11 a.m. and again 6:30 p.m. And we also have a midweek meeting on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. May God bless His word to you this afternoon.